right here. Just pay attention to us. The Middle Children.
Hi, I'm Jesse Jollis.
And I'm Chris Burns.
And this is... Oh, sorry. Middle Children. Wow.
Wow. That would have been so good had you not messed it up in the beginning, but I think it'll still work.
Sorry, yeah. I think it was delayed for me for a second. So I went, oh, he's not saying it. And then you said it. Yeah. And I went, oh. And yeah, I wish I didn't always panic immediately, but that seems to be my sort of MO.
And so Taylor's Checker is coming up very soon.
Get pumped.
Until then, Jesse, how are you doing? How are you holding up?
You know, I'm better than last time because I'm not openly bleeding.
Yeah.
I'm not openly bleeding. I think so. I did have two fish for breakfast. So what does that mean? No one knows.
You had what?
I woke up and I made fish.
What kind?
It's like a tilapia.
Oh, see, I was watching, I watch a lot of nature documentaries.
I love that for you.
And I was watching one last night about they were catching tilapia.
Oh.
In Alaska. And it's crazy because orca whales are so smart that they have developed. So like now orca whales who have sonar and all that bullshit can see boats because boats catch fish in the dark because fish can't see in the dark. So they all swim into the giant net and they catch literally like hundreds of thousands of fish at one time.
Oy.
But the orcas now like know that the light and the sound of the boat means that there's going to be fish for them to eat for the ones that get out of the net. So then the orcas go and catch them. And then if they have like a lot of fish, they start blowing bubbles out of their blowholes from under the water. So other orcas know that there's food there.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
How cool is that?
So am I spinning out of control? Yes, absolutely.
Wait, yeah, how are you doing?
Was I up Googling flights to Romania? Yes, I was.
Well, you're also having a very turn of events moments in the sense of you're turning into a new decade, if you will. And it's a...
When this airs, it will have been a week since.
Well, right.
So I'm a week into being 30.
And how does it feel?
Good.
Good. Good. Good. Good.
Was I watching another documentary called Wild Romania, and that's why I was looking up flights to Romania? Yes, it was.
Wow. Oh, so you're really getting it doc heavy, which I love for you.
I always do go pretty doc heavy.
Oh, wow.
I've always been a bitch for a doc, so.
I also am a bitch for a doc, and right now I'm considering Married at First Sight a doc, and I'm going through the entire...
Yeah, how's that going? How's Married? Should I start that tonight? Maybe I will.
Oh, my God, please.
How many seasons are there?
There's a ton. Right now, I think on Hulu, there's like 5 seasons. So I went backwards. I started with 9 and now I'm on 7. And I don't mind going backwards because I do think it gets better. And by that, I mean, for me, it's getting worse. So I don't know how long I'll last.
I do the same. I always start with the most recent unreality things.
Yeah, and it definitely is better, too, because the more recent ones, there's 4 couples. And right now, when starting at season 7, it's only 3. So you're like, oh, there's less drama. There's less couples. And right now, it depends where they are. So I think, I'd like to think. So like Philadelphia was a great season. Like cities, I think, are great. Right now, I'm in Texas, and I'm just not loving it. I am at the finale. So I did make it the whole way.
Well, I'm excited. I'm going to start it. Speaking of drama.
Yeah.
Wow. And we are back, you guys, with, I mean, just gay icon,
yes.
Legend, radio mistress of the morning and the evening. You know her, you love her, or you DM her that you don't. Taylor Strecker.
Hey, girl and boy, hey. Thanks for having me on the pod, guys.
Oh, my God. We're thrilled to have you.
We are obsessed with you. We would have done this if it weren't for you.
Shut your faces. Really?
Well, because you were on tour and Jesse and I were filling in for you. And then your people were like, you guys should do a pod. And we were like, we should. Yeah.
You guys never, seriously, in all your years of friendship, you never really thought you'd do a pod together? That's so crazy. You guys do, like, you're... You're gold. Liquid gold. Velveeta cheese, some would say.
Yeah. I think Chris and I are both like a little bit, especially in this time, like just a tad lazy. So like, unless someone was like, you got, I don't know. I just feel like I was not searching for a project.
Yeah. I feel like we had a lot of projects. And Jesse and I knew each other for many years, but we weren't like close until like 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were in the same circle, but we weren't like when we were thrown together and had to work like all the time together at Betches, then we were like, yeah, wait, maybe we're soulmates. But before that, it was like we were ships passing in the night.
Yeah, we would like see each other at shows and
yeah,
stuff,
we never had a class together. We never had like, we were just fans of each other.
Precisely. Oops, oh, there's my phone. I am recording using my phone because baby woke up with no power and no internet.
Yeah, oh my dude, God. What's going on? Is it the weather that knocked it out?
Apparently somebody like hit a pole and it knocked it
what
all out.
What an asshole.
I know. I said, I wish it was me.
Chris, are those White Claws behind you?
Probably, yep. Yesterday's White Claws.
Yeah, same here. We White Clawed like a motherfucker yesterday, Tay and I.
I love a White Claw.
It's so good. Wait, wait, wait. What's your favorite flavor?
I think black cherry.
No, what? Oh my God, I'm dead. I interviewed.
What's yours?
I will mango or ruby grapefruit.
Oh.
Have you tried the watermelon or the tangerine?
No.
Delicious. There's a new pack. It's a 4-pack. It's like tangerine, watermelon, mango, and I think lemon. Delish.
I know I would love the watermelon. I love watermelon.
Well, I was making fun of Girl With No Job. I had her on Taste of Taylor recently, and she's like, I just got into White Claw. She's like, I know I'm like behind everybody, but like, oh, I just love black cherry. And I was like, black cherry's the worst, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think you might be. I mean, the pack I got is like that strawberry. It's like the rat. It's a berry medley, if you will.
Yes.
Which I like. I don't even know if I'm being honest. I don't even know if I can taste the difference between the flavors that much. I'm just like, here's my alcohol. Bye. You know?
Yeah, they all taste the same to me, and I do get sick of them really quickly.
Yeah.
But they like prevent me from getting blackout too early.
And that's nice. It sort of prolongs it.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what we
all
want. Just
we love that. We need to be able to be functional in the beginning. My landlord slipped my rent under my door this morning with the additional that I owe her. So we love that for us.
Oh,
and for
my
her.
God.
Bless her for taking a risk.
Shouldn't she be at church?
Shouldn't she be at fucking church? We don't know. But Taylor, I think I'm so excited to have you on because you are the quintessential oldest.
Yes, I am.
Gift, if you will. The gift of child.
Well, I'm kind of like a combo. I'm the worst. Because I'm not only the oldest, but I also have a little bit of only mentality. Because
yes.
I was an only child till I was like 7.
Sure.
And, you know, my mom, I mean, I just recently posted a video on my Instagram over the weekend of me playing the harmonica for my mom.
Yeah.
And if you look at her face, it says it all. So basically, like, I didn't even think about posting that before coming on this, but I'm so happy I did because it was a split screen. We were like Zooming or whatever on Friday night with my parents because Tay was working late. So I was like, I'm just going to Zoom my parents, whatever. And so I was playing harmonica for them and it was my sister and her husband and my mom and my dad. And my sister was like looking at me in awe, as was my mom. You know what I mean? And I was terrible at the harmonica, FYI.
Wait, like they were looking at you like you were amazing?
Like I was amazing. And Tay took video.
You played harmonica for me live on Friday too.
And I was amazing. Why wasn't your mouth agape looking at me? But
somebody wanted me to perform and Taylor played what she claimed to be shallow on the harmonica and wanted me to do a lip sync to it.
What she claimed to be. But yeah, so, but that's like, that's in a nutshell, right? My sister worships me because I'm her big sister. My mom worships me because I'm her firstborn. I was an only, and she just like thought if I pooped, it was just rainbows, you know? So I'm literally the worst. Yes, I am the quintessential eldest child, apple of my parents' eye. I can fuck up to kingdom come, and they just still think I just shoot rainbows out of my ass. And I do because I'm gay.
That's stunning. What is Taylor Donahue?
Taylor Donahue's a middle.
There we go. Yep. I could sense that a mile away.
That's why I'm sort of I feel like if my brother started playing the harmonica on a Zoom call, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to head out now. Like, I don't think I would stick around with my mouth agape.
I think it's, I wonder if it's different because we're the same gender.
It could be. It could be.
Well, this is like my little brother has always like really admired my older brother.
Yeah. Like my little brother would have been like, he would have recorded on his end what I really sounded like on the harmonica and posted that on Instagram and be like, she actually fucking sucks. You know what I mean? My brother would not stand for that shit. Like, he would be like, yeah, he'd be like, bye. Would not. But Paige, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I guess I always just thought the middle, like, sibling, like, super admired and looked up to their older sibling. Like, Taylor's obsessed with her big sister, who's my exact age, actually. But she's obsessed. Well, she's obsessed with her whole family. So maybe it's just, like, a her and her family thing. But, like, I feel like, she never, like, and her sister Ashley is so cool, but I feel like she never, like, wants to, like, let Ashley down, you know? Like, if Ashley asks for something, Tay will, like change her entire schedule to, like, do whatever Ashley asks. And if she just said to her, like, oh, you know, well, I don't think I can, Ashley'd be like, okay, cool, no big deal. But, like, do you know what I mean? So when I look at Tay with her relationship to Ashley, I'm like, that's exactly how Paige must feel about me. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I think so. I'm like, do I have bad relationships?
No, but I feel like it's
I'm also
gender.
Like, wait.
Gender.
I think the gender is the difference, too. Also, well, I think that there's two kinds of middles, okay?
Okay.
There's middles who are like, fuck this position, you guys.
Yeah.
And for then sure. There's middles who are like so beaten down that they don't even know that they're miserable.
I also think it depends on, like, because was Tay, like, popular in high school?
Oh, my God. She loved high school, which makes me really question her as a person.
Yeah.
And she's, like, beautiful and blonde. So I feel like maybe she wasn't, like, given the slight of, like, the chubby,
pale. You have to see pictures of her when she was little. And whenever I say this, she gets really mad at me. But, like, she had an awkward phase for sure. Like, you know, like, super tall girls, they were, like, super taller than all the boys in middle school. And that just, like... That, like, once upon a time, being a tall girl was a bad thing at a certain age. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't get cool until, like, college.
I'm, like, yeah. My awkward phase, like, started in, third grade and lasted until tomorrow's my 30th birthday.
Happy birthday!
Oh, thank you. Oh, we'll have passed by the time this aired. But the point is, I've been awkward my whole life.
Yeah. I don't remember not being in it. Myself.
I'll say this. Tay's like, I see very much that Tay's role is like the pleaser. Okay. So, like, whether it's her little sister, her big brother, her mom, her dad, like, Tay's like, I feel like she's a quintessential middle because she just always like wants like every, like, she'll just fall all over herself to, you know, keep her family happy. Like, her job is to, like, you know, she's like good and follows the rules. Isn't that like a middle? Like, always looking for approval, I guess, is what I should say. The way I put it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I do love that.
It's
approval.
Also like Jesse, huh? Like how Jesse tried to go home and her parents were like, no.
Exactly.
But I don't know if that's like, I guess I want to feel needed or wanted.
Yes.
I'm looking for that, if you will. Which I just know if my brother asked, they'd be like, oh my God, yes, please come.
We sanitized a room for
you.
Yeah,
exactly. It's the big one that you love. Jesse, the attic is available.
Would you guys ever date a first or no?
An oldest?
I feel like I would have to. I feel like
yeah.
Dating a middle wouldn't work because I would just be like, no, no, like, what do you want? No, no, but what do you want? You know, it would just like go back and forth of like, what restaurant do you want to go to?
Yeah, right.
I totally disagree. I had been dating a bunch of oldest who are like, I'm a caretaker. And then they're like, bye. I'm like, that's not caretaking. I'm your favorite project.
Oldest are the worst. We're not caretakers.
No.
We're so selfish.
And I also think the way you play harmonica is the way you expect me to react with anything. They're like, I built this desk. It's fully crooked. And they're like, don't you love it? Isn't it your favorite thing you've ever seen? I'm like, I don't like it. And they're like, I'm a miracle. How dare you? You know? Where exactly. I'm like trying to prove my worth at every, you know, 2 seconds. Like, see, this is why I'm fun to be around. This is why I'm a perfect girlfriend.
Should we get into embarrassing stories of the week?
Let's get into it. I'm sweating like a hyena.
It's the embarrassing story of the week.
We have a jingle that plays now.
I love that. You want me to start? I have to start? I'll start. Okay. Well, Jessie knows one of my most embarrassing stories. I know. Okay, so she wants me to tell this one. Okay.
I love that one.
Okay, so Chris, I don't think Chris knows this, and I really don't know the last time I told it on, like, anywhere. Okay, okay, I'll tell this one. So in high school, I was like, I mean, I thought I was straight, but maybe I was like, you know, like lesy vibes, and I just didn't realize it. But I was like obsessed with this girl on my field hockey team. Her name was Meg. And
that doesn't sound gay at all.
And she was like 2 years older than me. So I was a freshman. She was a junior. So sophomore year, you guys, I worked so fucking hard to get on the varsity team because I wanted to like be friends with her. So like I was like running every day over the summer. Like I was like, I'm gonna crush double session so it can be on Meg's team. And I did. So my sophomore year, I was on varsity, and it was because it was Meg's last.
Oh my God, that's like really good.
I know. And so it was Meg's last year at school, right? So it was do or die. If I didn't get on varsity, that was the end of it. Bye bye, Meg. So I got on, and of course, like she like loved me, but she was still, you know, in high school, like 2 years is like everything. So like being a sophomore, you're not gonna be friends with a senior, right? You know what I mean? That's like hard.
Yeah.
But she liked me as a teammate, but we weren't like friends. So I was like, I will win my way into this girl's heart. We will be best friends if my life depends on it. So one day we had this thing in my high school and it was called senior locker room. So seniors had their own locker room and they could decorate it like as a class. And like they like would bring in like, I don't know, like beanbag chairs and lounge chairs and like, you know, like a fucking inflatable swimming pool. Like you decorate it as a class, however you see fit. And it's like, your chill room. So like when you have like a study period or like a free period, they could like go hang out in the senior locker room. It was like a privilege for seniors. So I was coming out of the cafeteria, which is directly in front of the senior locker room. And I might have been coming out of study because sometimes if you had a free period, you just go to the cafeteria and just fucking stuff your stupid little fat face, which is exactly what I would do. I would eat literally like fucking four meals before I would get home at 3 p.m. when I was in high school. So I'm coming out of the room and I'm looking directly at the senior locker room. And Meg was there. We happened to have a study period at the same time. And so she was there with her friends and she like waved to me like, hi. And I was like, ooh, hi. And I got like all excited that she waved at me. And so I thought to myself, Taylor, let's do something super cool right now to show Meg like how fucking awesome we are so that we can be best friends. Because like we're almost in spring and you're losing the time before she goes to college. She probably went to UConn or some shit, you know. But we gotta rush this along. So I said, I know what I'm gonna do. So there was a folding table right outside of the cafeteria that was like really, like, it was almost like it was double the size of a normal one. It was like two pushed together and it was like super long. And I thought, oh my God, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna run over there. I'm gonna jump on that folding table. I'm gonna slide across the table. I'm gonna land on my feet because I'm wearing sneakers today. And Meg's gonna be like, that's so cool. And everyone's gonna be like, that's so fucking cool. So I run over, I jump on the table, and like the chubby girl that I am, I'm not gonna, who did I think I was? I was on 14th meal at this point in my day.
You were on varsity.
Jumped on the table, and rather than sliding gracefully across as I expected it to, the table completely collapsed in on me and I just became a human taco. And that's why I'm a lesbian.
Did anybody rush to your aid?
No, they laughed at me. And I just was like awkwardly like trying to get out of it. And they were like, everyone's like, ooh, are you okay? They look like that hurt, you know? It was like one of those.
And you're like, and absolutely like, not. What I loved happened? It.
No, I was like, that was it. I just never even looked at Meg ever again. That was it for me.
I feel like if I saw that happen, I would be like, what happened? How did this even happen?
It was just stupid. It was so dumb. It's like such a stupid high school. Like, why don't our brains work when we're going through puberty?
They really think that we're invincible. But the worst part about that story is it's like when you trip or something happens, you can run away as fast as you possibly can. But for you, you were trapped in that moment.
Yeah, I was physically stuck. I couldn't get out. So I think I must have passed out from embarrassment. I honestly, like, I swear to God, I can't remember what happened after I was and was trapped. I think I must have passed out. Maybe I was in the emergency room. I don't even fucking know.
Do you know what happened to Meg now?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I have no idea. I honestly don't even know her last name, so I couldn't even, like, Facebook stalk her.
You know, I bet she knows who you are and what you're doing, so never forget that.
Yeah, right? You missed your opportunity, Meg, to be best friends with a star!
That's right.
Yeah, you bitch. You bitch. Meanwhile, Meg was like, I didn't do anything wrong. She jumped on a table in front of me. I was always nice to her.
She was. I also farted, like, next to her at ski practice. I also joined that to be near her, too.
You were in love with Meg, I feel.
I feel the same. I feel you are correct.
When is the last time you're like, I'm going to run every day to get this person to like me?
Never, ever, and never again. Literally never again.
I know, that's a lot of motivation.
Seriously, right? Yeah. I didn't think about that till just now. Yeah.
Boosh.
I know.
Jesse, do you want to go or should I?
You go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to piggyback off a high school story.
Love that.
Should I tell my farting story?
Yes.
So I famously was on varsity baseball when I was a freshman. I'm just kidding.
Wow. I was like, I had no idea.
Just kidding. I was exactly what you would imagine in gym class. And I hated every goddamn second of it. We also had in ninth grade, we were required to do swimming because there was a pool in my school. And so like that was my constant struggle, was knowing that swimming week was coming up and I was going to have to be topless.
God.
In front of the class. And kids would shit in the pool and then they would have to drain it.
Oh my
so that
God.
And we couldn't use it. And I remember multiple occasions being like, should I just shit in the pool during?
It's kind of a hero move at this point.
Well, regardless, come 11th grade. Was it 11th grade? 10th grade. Come 10th grade, a miracle happens and I have a tumor in my knee. So it was like my knee was hurting for like a year. And then finally I went to the doctor and there was like a tumor in my, like in the joint of my knee. And it was benign, but whatever. They had to take it out. And then I had to be out of gym class for like almost a full year.
Bless,
but they put
praise
me
be.
In, well, yes, but they did put me in special ed gym class.
No.
So like,
why couldn't
my
they
dad
just,
still.
Why couldn't they just let you not be in gym class?
You are telling me. And so imagine telling my dad, like, hey, I'm in special ed gym class now. It's still a funny thing they like to talk about. But so I was in it. And then also this girl who was, her name was Jill, and she was like very popular.
Oh.
She was a year younger than me, but she was like the most popular of the grade under us. And she was also in special ed gym class because she had a really heavy period. And so her mom wrote a note.
Wait, what?
Wow, popular.
I don't understand.
Popular, the most popular, even with a heavy period that everyone knew about. That's impressive.
Heavy flow.
Well, I was like telling, because I was also working at the grocery store at this time. And I was like telling my coworker who went to my high school, like, I'm in special ed gym class now. And she's like, oh my God, so's Jill because of her heavy flow. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm like also still in the closet. I'm like, all right, I'm going to befriend Jill. We're going to be best friends.
Right.
Oh my God.
Come hell or high water. And so we go into the gym class and the coach, it's me and her and then, you know, a bunch of like special needs kids that like actually had special needs. And so the teacher's like so stressed out trying to do everything. And she's like, just go like go into the weight room, like lift weights and then walk the track and do sit-ups. And we're like, okay. So we're like, I guess we should start with sit-ups. And we don't know each other at all. And she's like, okay, you hold my feet and then I'll hold yours. And I was like, okay. So I hold her feet and she does like, I don't know, you know, 40 flawless sit-ups. And I'm like, the heavy flow doesn't seem to be stopping her here. And then she's like, okay, time to swap. And I was like, okay, I have to impress this girl with my sit-ups, even though my knee is throbbing and I'm here for a reason. And literally on the first sit-up, I like perfect form from my back all the way up to my knees where I'm making eye contact with Jill. But the thing was, a fart did start releasing at the bottom of the sit-up and continued releasing until I made eye contact with her. And we just, like, froze. And then she started laughing hysterically. And so then I started laughing hysterically. And then we became great gym buddies for the rest of high school.
Oh, I'm so happy it worked out for you,
Chris. Oh, I love that.
It worked out so well. But, yeah, no, I mean, high school, never. I also was, like, still, quote unquote, into girls back then.
I how did you play it off? I'm dying to know.
I really was confused. I really did not know. So, like, in eighth grade, I had a crush on this girl named Whitney, who is literally full-blown trash. Like, today, I don't even know where she is. But even back then, like, my girlfriends, because all my friends were still girls, were like, how, like, she's trash. And I'm like, I like her. And we pass notes back and forth every day.
Wow.
And so I would, like, keep... Yeah, but looking back, I was just like a gay best friend, or like, you know, I don't even think she knew my name. I think she was just like bored in class because her notes would literally just be like her complaining about other boys that were ignoring her. And I'd be like, she's so into me. And once I like wrote lyrics of the Clay Aiken song Invisible in a note to her.
Stop.
And told her that's how I felt about her.
And then she was like, thank you for coming out to me.
And she was like, ah. Anyway, Michael R. is being so mean to me and I don't know why. But I kept all the notes in my backpack. And then once during lunch, I like went to get lunch and I came back and I was like, I feel there was this kid who would always like make a scene, like class clown scene. And I was like, I feel like that's familiar. And then I realized that he was doing like slam poetry readings of all of the notes that he had pulled from my backpack to the entire cafeteria.
That's a nightmare.
Oh.
And there was like another kid like fake playing bongos as he was doing it because it was like a slam poetry thing. But I was like, at least they think I'm into women.
Yeah,
right?
Let them talk.
Let them talk. Spread the rumor.
Let them talk.
Spread the rumor.
Okay, I'm going to tell my story, which was middle school summer. I didn't go to sleepaway camps because one year when I went to a sleepaway camp, my dad said I was, quote, unrecognizable when I got off the bus. I had gained so much weight.
Oh, my God.
That's a direct quote. So my dad was like, because, you know, my dad would always watch what I ate. So when I went to sleepaway camp and there was a buffet, I was like, bye, see you later. I'm going to eat what I want, which was everything. And then apparently I gained a ton of weight. So my dad didn't love the idea of me going to sleepaway camp, but we were like, let's try it one more time. So I went to the sleepaway camp and one of the activities, or like one of the things you could do, is be part of like this kid circus. And I was like, amazing. I want to be a part of a circus. I could be a clown is what I thought. Oh, a clown. You can mime stuff. It felt like a good fit for me. So I tried out to be a clown. And then when the like cast list was posted, I was a fire breather.
Shut up.
Which is not what I want. I was like, wait, what?
Terrifying. Terrifying.
Terrifying. I was like, I don't think I want to do that. They're like, you're going to be a fire breather. I was like, okay. I never like really would like make a scene. I never wanted to be a problem. So I was like, I guess I'm a fire breather. I don't even know. There'd be like this liquid and the people would train us and they'd be like, okay, so the way that you get rid of fire is you take away the oxygen. So you can light your tongue on fire and then when it gets hot, just close your mouth. And you'd be like, okay. But the problem is if you panic, you know, if you panic and then you don't get rid of all the oxygen, you just start burning.
How old were you?
I was like 11. I mean, that, 11 or 12.
They should not have incorporated. Couldn't they like have replaced that with something a little safer?
You would think.
That is insane.
I know. But I was like, I have to do it. There was only six of us. We had like this whole routine where it's like I'd light my tongue on fire and then the person next to me would light their torch with my tongue.
Oh my God.
We would pass the fire, okay? We'd pass the fire. I was like, my parents are going to be so proud of me, okay? Because I can light my tongue and other things on fire. And one of the like counselors who was teaching us was like this hot, almost not my type, which is like a Nazi-esque vibe, like blonde hair, blue eyes.
Aryan is what is the word you're looking for.
Okay, great. But I was like, I think I love him. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I was like full blown in love with him. Would have lit
any
my whole body on fire.
Any man that can teach me to breathe fire? Hello.
That's right. Who's going to start the fire, you know? So one time we like got these t-shirts, you know, and it would be like, oh, everyone's going to sign your t-shirt. And I think I was delusional because I really believed that he loved me and that he was like couldn't be with me because I was 11 or 12 and he was like 18, if not older. But I was like, but he loves me. I'm this endearing, chubby girl learning how to light her tongue on fire. How could you not? And he wrote something on my t-shirt. And I like remember when I got home, I cut the t-shirt and just kept that because I was like, that's what matters to me. And I had to wear this all black velvet ensemble when we did our fire breathing circus routine. Mm. And then ironically enough, later that year, my house burnt down.
Oh, my God.
And were they like, Jesse, were you practicing?
No, everyone knew I was never going to play with fire again after that summer. I was like, just get through it, Jesse. Just get through it. But I was a fire breather. Isn't that psychotic?
That's crazy. I'm actually impressed. That's very cool. You have street cred that I never realized that, like before. I mean, I'm legit impressed.
I mean, I wouldn't be. I just when I'm in a bad situation, put my head down and say, you're going to do it because what are your other options?
I've been there with many things where I'm like, you know what? I'll either die or I won't.
That's a really middle child mentality, how to get through life. I'll either die or I won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day that I leave the world, I'm like, you know what? The worst thing that could happen to me today is somebody tries to kill me, you know? And so if that doesn't happen, it's a fine day.
It's a fine day. It's a win for us all. It's a W around.
And that's the mentality that middle children have. Middle children are the best. Seriously. You really are. You really are. I mean, if you're just happy because you lived another day. What a great outlook on life to have. I'm mad that I didn't win the fucking lottery. You know, it's like, why wasn't today the most special day in the world? So I'm constantly pissed off because every day can't be the most special day in the world. Taylor.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Taylor, thank you so much. We are going to be right back with Middle Child of the Week, but Taylor has to go be with my arch nemesis, Sean Toby.
Truly.
I love you. Thanks for having me, and firstborn children rule.
Well, that is not the slogan or the takeaway. Thank you, Taylor.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Wow.
Wow.
You gotta love her.
You really do.
And you know what? I think it's time for... Iconic, as always. This week's Middle Child of the Week, I think she's an unlikely choice.
Sure.
At some point, she was an unlikely choice. Now she's very favorable.
Right.
People love her now.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone through the gamut.
Yeah.
Child star. She's come back hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Have you heard of her?
Have you heard of her? Hannah Montana, OG. And when you think about it, she got to be on that show with her dad. What a moment that was for a middle child.
That is a moment in middle children history. Right. I think that's the only time that's probably ever happened.
Ever.
I mean, he picked her.
He picked her.
To be in a show as the star, both as herself and as Hannah Montana.
Exactly. And as his daughter, his real daughter, and his fake child daughter.
Can you imagine being able to be A, in a show with your father?
Right.
And B, play a superstar who goes to high school during the day.
What a dream, what a gift that would be. And truly, I can't imagine what that would, like, I can imagine the oldest child getting to do that, and I would be seething with anger and jealousy. And so being the middle child and getting that, I'm like, what a get.
You know what else she got? Her godmother is Dolly Parton. Oh. And there was an older sibling there.
Homegirl crushed it.
I mean, we have to see what's up with this oldest child. There must be something wrong there.
Yeah, maybe it's a boy.
Maybe, but still getting Dolly Parton.
You
true. Don't think of her until your second child?
Because remember, her younger sister sings that song. Like a
Which one?
She is like Noah, whatever. Noah sign.
Is that her sister?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she has like a few songs and like kind of looks like her. And you're like, oh, you're Miley's little sister. So I'll watch.
Yeah, must be nice.
Yeah, must be nice. I wonder how you got that record deal.
Yeah. Does your father and your famous sister, who's a judge on The Voice, have anything to do
with
it?
I wonder if that helped. But that I'm speculating.
But, you know, it's just you're the youngest. Things get handed to you.
Things
so that's
get
fine.
Handed to you. But I wonder who the oldest is. It's got to be a boy.
It's got to be. Or somebody that's like, I don't want to be in the limelight.
Oh, my God. Maybe tone deaf even.
Remember? Who was it? There was a Kim. Remember? It was Kelly, Jack, and Kim Osbourne of the Osbourne
There's
family.
Three?
There's three, but the oldest didn't want to be on TV, so she was never on the show.
I'm dead.
So Kelly's the middle.
What a star. Of course she's like, of course I'll be on the show. What a psycho. Who's going to say no
she's
to
She's like,
it.
Wait, and I'll get to, people will think I'm the oldest?
Done.
I'm there. Dye my hair purple. Let's party.
Let's fucking party. Oh my God.
We'll save her recognition for another week.
Yeah, we will. I love that. But good for Miley. And you know what? Homegirl's coming in like a wrecking ball, and we love her for it.
And no pun intended there.
Exactly.
Okay?
Thank you.
She's my whiskey and pills.
Hello.
Another pun on her song. Thank you so much. All right, guys, it is time for
the Hallmark Movie of the Week.
Amazing.
We love.
Do you want to start or should I?
You start.
Wow. Okay, it's Christmas. I'm doing Christmas.
I love.
Okay, because it's a rainy day here where I'm recording.
Yeah.
I have no electricity. I have no internet. And you're probably wondering, how are you recording? It's called Making It Happen.
Yes.
People.
Yes.
That's how I'm recording.
Great.
So it's 5 days before the holidays.
Wow.
Okay. I'm in a small town in Vermont.
Quaint.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually called Quaint Vermont.
Oh, wow.
And that's and they're always like, that's where the word originated from.
Wow.
That's what they say. So there's a lot of gift shops, little things, because it's a touristy area.
Yeah.
It's Quaint Vermont.
That makes
sense. And so people come and they're like, oh my God, this place is literally called Quaint Vermont. Let's go there.
Yeah.
And there's mugs that say Quaint, all of that.
Oh my gosh.
My mother was actually the person who opened the first gift shop. Yeah. And so I grew up there, even though I had obviously other dreams.
Sure.
I wanted to be a painter.
Ooh.
I always had wanted to be a painter. I'm just getting choked up thinking about it. I had always wanted to be a painter, and I painted beautiful things. Baskets of fruit. I mean, the human form.
Wow.
I even got into some sculpting, ice sculpting, clay.
Oh, my.
Sculpting. You name it. They used to joke. My name in the movie is Patrick. And they would be like, don't leave a block of wood by Patrick. Because when you come back, it's going to look like a vase.
Oh, my God. They would say, you mean Patracto, Picasso, Patrick?
Picasso. Yeah, they would call me Picasso. Okay. Patrick Picasso.
Patrick Picasso.
That's what my nickname was in high school before everyone started making fun of me for being gay. It was when I was still cool. So I had a hard time coming out in Quaint. I only graduated with about 7 other people. It's a very small town.
Well, it's Quaint.
And they were all like, what are you going to take over your mom's gift shop, you little homo?
Ooh.
And it was hard for me.
I don't like that.
Because also I was like, in theory, a gift shop would be a perfect job for me because I could sell my art, my sculptures. Wow. But I wanted to get out of Quaint. I wanted to get to a big city where I could meet the man of my dreams.
Yes.
Because I knew he was out there for me. And God damn it, I was going to go find him.
Yeah.
So I go to San Francisco. Okay. I tell my mom, I'm packing up the car. I'm packing up my paints. And I'm going to San Francisco. And she's naturally hurt by this.
Yeah.
Because my father hasn't been in the picture in some time.
Oh, no.
Ever since he died. He passed away.
I'm sorry.
And my mom has a new like flirtation.
Ooh,
okay.
Okay.
It's this guy's name's Norm. He owns a bar in town.
Okay.
And he always is kind of like, you know, I didn't really vibe with him.
Yeah.
But he made my mom happy, so I was okay with it. And I was like, Norm will take care of you, mom. Like, I gotta
go.
pack my bags and go to San Fran,
Cisco.
So I get to San Francisco and oof, am I thrown into the mix.
Wow.
You know, montages of me trying to go to the bar, me trying to like talk to guys and then just, it's not working out.
No.
They're too forceful. They're too forward.
Ugh.
They're automatic. What's your favorite Apple product? And I'm like, my brush, okay?
Yeah.
I still have a flip phone because in Quaint, we don't even have cell phone service. So what am I going to do with an Apple iPhone?
You're a fish out of water.
I am a fish and I am flat. I'm a salmon. Okay. I'm a salmon out of water. Not only do I swim upstream, I'm not even in the water.
Oy.
And so I'm stressed out. And then I'm like, I need to get a job. Nobody wants to hire me. I can't get a job painting. I can't get a job anywhere. I go to a gift shop and they're like, we only sell Nude Illusion magazines from figures of 80s gay icons. And I'm like,
what?
No, I want to paint mugs and fruit baskets.
Yeah.
And they are like, you know, very judgmental.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm not having a good time.
No.
And again, it's 5 days before Christmas. Oh. So now it's about 3 days. I've only been there for two.
Okay.
Feels like forever.
Sure.
I'm sleeping at the YMCA.
Oy.
And I'm just, because I'm like, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, why don't you just go in the new year? I'm like, if I don't go now, I'll never go.
True.
And so I pick up a night shift. I'm going to be working at a bar.
Okay.
I'm like, I'll bartend. So I am a bar back. They won't even hire me as a full bartender, even though I have experience. Because of Norm. Mm. And so I'm working. And finally, this bartender gives me a little glimmer of hope.
Oh.
Okay? He's sweet to me.
Oh.
He sees my wallet.
Oh.
And he's like, where did you get that? That's so cool. And I was like, oh, it's hand-painted. It's canvas, and I painted on the cats. And he's like, I love cats. I have two tabbies. And I'm like, I love tabbies. I'm actually allergic, but I take allergy pills just so I can be around them.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God, same, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, this guy's so cool. And then this guy comes to the bar and they kiss.
No.
And I'm like, what is that? And the guy that he kisses is like gorgeous. And then the busser, Steve, I'm like, do you know who that guy is talking to Ryan? That's the bartender.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, yeah, that's his boyfriend. How do you not know Steve? And I'm like, oh, should I? And he's like, he's basically the mayor of San Francisco.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, I thought the mayor was, and then I say the mayor of San Francisco. And he's like, yeah, no, that's like the legit mayor. He's like the mayor. Like everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I put my head down. I just go back to filling up the ice and really questioning my decisions. I'm a little downtrodden. And then it's time to close up shop.
Oh, okay? Wow.
And so I hear Ryan on the phone and he's upset.
No.
And he's saying things like, I told you I had to work late. I'm going to be home soon, blah, blah, blah. And so then I turn and he's crying visibly.
No.
And I'm like, what happened? And he's like, I just really am so unhappy with Steve. Like, he treats me like garbage. He hates the cats. He hates my art. And I'm like, do you do art? And he's like, I sculpt. And he's like, I just like, I don't know. I've been here for like 5 years. I'm from a small town. I just miss that so much. I am going to miss the holidays with my family.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, same.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's just like crazy. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, I don't need your pity.
Oh, ooh, uh-oh.
And I'm like, oh, that wasn't what I was trying to do.
Oh, no.
And he's like, sorry, I'm overreacting. It's just because Steve is so mean to me. And I'm like, it's okay. I understand. I'm also fresh out of a relationship.
Oh.
And then I look at camera because it's not true. But it like twinkles a little and it's like a little comic relief in a serious
thing.
Thank goodness.
You know? Yeah.
And then the next day.
We're 2 days away from Christmas. Am I wrong?
So now we're the day before Christmas Eve.
Wow. Okay.
And I get to the bar ready to work, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Trying to put Ryan out of my mind.
Yeah.
There was a moment for sure where we almost kissed, but he was, you know, he was with Steve.
Oh.
And I try to get to the bar and there's a sign on the door. It says we're opening late because of water damage. And I was like, What the fuck?
No one told you?
What happened?
Yeah.
Nobody told me. And me and
Ryan
were the last two to leave.
Yeah, what water damage?
And so I'm like, well, I guess I'll go wait inside because I'm living at the Y, so I'm not going to go back there.
Yeah, no.
So I'm like, I'll just go and write in my journal inside.
Smart.
And so I go in, and Ryan is in the office, and he's getting fired.
No.
And they're yelling at him for not emptying the ice buckets that melted and then flooded the thing, which is my job.
Oh, no.
And I hear him getting fired for it, and he's taking the blame.
What?
He's taking the blame. And so I turn the corner and I say, I can't let this happen.
No.
It's not his fault. And he's like, Patrick, just get out of here, okay? It's fine. And I was like, no, it's not fine. You love this job. He's like, I hate this job. I'm going back to my town, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I can't do this shit anymore. So he makes a big scene.
Okay.
And then the owner of the bar looks, he's like, looks like your bartender now, which is an, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I start the bartending shift, yeah. And it's busy, and the people are starting to accept me. I'm funny. I'm witty.
Of course.
They're really starting to like me.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of dawns on me. I see a couple arguing that reminds me of Steve, sure. And Ryan.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, where's Ryan?
Where is he?
And I can't do this. And then an old woman. Okay. So it's like a gay bar, but there's a woman. And
is that me?
She comes in. So listen,
okay.
There's always a figure. Like if you've seen the Princess Diaries or the Princess Switch.
Of course.
There's the old man who's in various scenes, mm-hmm. as different characters.
Okay.
But you're always like, is that Santa? So that is you, but you're magical. Okay.
Got it. Okay.
So you were at the airport. You gave me advice when I was on my way there.
Oh.
You had been at the bar the day before.
Oh.
You had been on the street when you winked at me. Yeah. There's been many occasions. And so you're at the bar and I'm like, you look so familiar. Have I seen you before? And you're like, oh, I don't think so. And you're like, Christmas is coming. Are you celebrating with the family? I'm like, no, my family's back in
Quaint.
In Vermont. And you're like, what is the holidays without your family?
Wow.
I'm like, well, it's just, you know, my mom and I, and she has a boyfriend now. And you're like, you're not dating anyone? And I'm like, no, it's, you know, I'm focused on my art. And you're like, oh, is this your art? You make a joke. Bartending.
That's funny of me.
And I'm like, ha ha. not quite. And you're like, let me tell you something. Life's too short not to put yourself out there.
Wow.
And then you're like, let me get another Bud Light. And I turn around to get you a Bud Light and I turn back and you're gone.
Yep.
And where you were sitting at the bar is a coaster from Norm's Bar, Quaint, Vermont.
Stop.
And so I'm like, what the fuck? Has she been to Quaint, Vermont?
Was I talking to a coaster?
This is too weird. And so then the rest of the night goes terribly. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
I'm going home. I can't do this. And I keep thinking about Ryan and I'm like, this is crazy that I'm thinking about him. I've only known him a couple of days,
right.
And I barely knew him, but I've always fallen hard and easy.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's always hurt me.
Yeah.
So I find it. I'm like, I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive there. So I rent a car.
Okay.
And I'm driving from San Francisco to Vermont, which would take way too long. So it's not going to get me to Christmas in time.
Wow.
So I'm like, you know what? What am I thinking? I better get to the airport. I get to the airport. Yeah. I sit down. There's a person sitting next to me, but he has his hood over his face because he's sleeping.
Oh.
We finally land. Oh, you know what? It's a tumultuous flight.
Oh, no.
It's really bad.
The turbulence.
It's a snowstorm. Turbulence is crazy.
Oy.
This person's still sleeping. I'm like, I'm going to die. He wakes up among all of this and just like grabs my hand without looking because he's so scared. Oh. And it feels right, you know? I feel a moment where I'm like, oh, what is that?
Yeah.
And then he still has his hood up, you know? He's holding my hand, but I'm like, I'm going to help the stranger through it.
Yeah.
And then we finally level out and he takes down his hood.
Yeah.
And it's Ryan.
No.
Can you believe that?
I can't believe that.
And I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, oh my God. And I'm like, ooh, where are you heading? And he's like, I'm going to Bashful. And I'm like, Vermont?
Yeah.
Which is the bordering town
oh.
to Quaint. And I'm like, I grew up in Quaint. And he's like, what? I love Quaint. There's this amazing little gift shop there. And I would always go, and that's where I would get all my family's Christmas presents. And that has just, I saw a mug at the bar from Quaint, Vermont, from Norm's Bar, which is where I used to go because they would let me in underage. And I would go, and I saw that, and I was like, that's a sign. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I saw a coaster, and he was like, yeah, this old lady came in and she really gave me a talking to, and I just realized it's not worth it.
Wow.
And I realize that we're going to, and I'm like, my family owns that gift shop. And he's like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
And so then we land, he gets a text from his family.
Oh.
They went to San Francisco.
No.
Ironically, to visit him.
Stop.
And we laugh about it. He's like, they're coming back on the 26th, but LOL.
LOL.
That's what they get for giving me a surprise. And I'm like, well, if you want to come celebrate the holidays at the gift shop, my mom and Norm are at Sandals Jamaica. I get the text. They were like, holidays would be too hard without you. We went to Sandals.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, I guess I will just I'll check the stock at the gift shop.
Okay.
No one will be there. It's closed, sure. You know, on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So it's a good day to do inventory. And
so
he was like, is it weird if I do inventory with you? That sounds kind of magical. I love that store. And I'm like, no, you should totally come. And so we're doing inventory, and I'm like really wanting to kiss him.
Yeah.
But I don't have the courage. And as I'm thinking about how I don't have the courage, I look outside and it's snowing. And there's a Salvation Army bell ringer, which is unusual. Again, it's a very tiny town. And he has a Santa hat on. It looks like a Santa hat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wish I had the courage to do things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Not care what people think about me. And then you look up and it's you.
Stop.
And you wink. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I turn around, I turn back and you're gone.
Of course.
And I'm like, did you see that bell ringer? And he was like, oh my God, I think I'm going crazy. She looked like the same woman at the bar that convinced me to come here. And as he says that, I just gave it passionately, a passionate kiss.
Oh my God, fear to the wind.
And then I say, I think we should stay here. And he says, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Oh my God.
1 year later. You know I love a 1 year later.
I love a one year later.
So again, we use the trick of the snow falling. Now it's going back up.
Okay.
So we know it's a year later.
Yep.
My mom comes barreling into the store. And she's like, Patrick, if you're going to be running the store, I left you this store because we love Sandals Jamaica so much. That's where we're basically living now.
Wow.
We need to come up with some new inventory. And I'm like, I'm doing as much as I can. And then Ryan pokes his head and he says, hi, Mrs. Bumblejuice. I'm working on the keychains right now. And she's like, oh, thank God, Ryan, sweetie. You're so amazing. I'm so happy you're my son-in-law.
Son-in-law.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And then she goes, and then it's the last scene. You ring there's a bell on the counter.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
And you say, can I get some service here? And it's you. Blackout.
Oh my God. What a quaint tale. And yet,
Oh Holy Night starts playing during the credits.
What's it called? A Quaint Christmas?
It's called Christmas in Quaint.
Quick. That's hard to say. Christmas in Quaint. I love that. That is a movie I want to see.
And you will.
And I like that twist of, like, it's always interesting when the guy's in a relationship that you know should be with you, you know?
I know.
I really like that. That made sense for me. It added up. It added up.
It's your turn.
Okay. Picture this. I'm a high-powered lawyer. Okay.
She loves a niche role.
I do. I'm a high-powered lawyer. We open up in a courtroom. Okay.
Okay.
I'm like, objection, Your Honor.
You're a prosecutor.
I'm a prosecutor. I said, that guy is in the mob. I said, we put him behind bars and that's the end of the story. And the judge is like, okay, let's settle. I say, settle. That man is the reason the economy is staying. thinking, and he needs to see bars. And the mobster looks mad, and I'm like, I can't, okay? And then the judge is like, okay, he's guilty. And I'm like, okay. And you hear whisper in the courtroom that she never loses. And I say, I say, okay, chip, chip, cheerio, let's go. So I go back home to my huge apartment, which is empty, okay? No big deal. I'm making tea and crumpets, and there's a knock at the door. It's my best friend, you, okay?
Oh, amazing.
Who's also my, you know, legal counsel, if you will. So I'm like, come in, kick your feet up. Let's get to chatting. I got to tell you all about my week. And then there's another knock on the door, and I say, oh, did you order pizza or is that something else? Okay. So I go to open the door. Boom. Four big, huge guys come in. Okay.
Oh my God.
They're mobsters. Two take you, and you're like, help. Denise, that's my name, Denise in this. I'm like, oh my God, Quincy, that's your name. And then two of them grab me and they're like, pin me up against the wall. I'm like, okay, is this about the court case? Because if it is, I was just doing my job. And they're like, you're coming with us. I'm like, oh my God. So you and I are in a car. You're in the trunk, unfortunately.
Oh my God.
With a bag over your head. And I'm in the middle seat with a bag over my head. I hear them talking. I don't even know what they're talking about. Next thing I know, I'm in this interrogation room in a basement somewhere with one swinging light and just a room of big macho mob men. Mm. And they're like, do you understand what's happening? I'm like, what is happening? Okay, I don't want to put on my lawyer hat, but if I do, you're all in prison. And they said, you know that you were adopted, right? And I say, come again? And they say, yeah, you were adopted. And the reason we know this is because the man you put in jail is your father.
Ugh.
And I go, what? My father is a mobster? I believe in law and justice, okay? I believe in the
Denise
system.
Denise Francelli.
Right. Denise Francelli is my real name. And because you put your father behind bars, you're now the head of the mob.
You're now the Don.
I go, what? All of a sudden I hear you go, hell yeah. And you're like, we're the head of the mob. And I'm like, hold on a second, Quincy. I don't understand what's happening. I can't be the head of the mob. They're like, listen, okay, your father was going to tell you eventually. But the thing is, he's been investigated and under the court system for a while, and he didn't want you to be in danger. He said, once he found out you were his prosecutor, he knew he was in trouble, but he also wanted to see you in action, so he couldn't turn it. He couldn't not go.
He wanted to see if you were strong.
Yes. And he said he was so impressed that at the end—
because you bested him.
Exactly. At the end, he gave the nod, and now I'm the head of the mob.
Mm.
And I go, oh my God, I really don't know what to do. And honestly, I don't accept. And they're like, oh, you think it's an option? No, you're the head of the mob. We do whatever you want. And I'm like, let me just get my bearing. And you're like, all right, well, I'll start.
And I'm already saying, like, I want a coffee.
Yeah, you're like, I'll start. I'll take a chai latte, easy on the skim milk. And I'm like, Quincy, let's just wait a second. They're like, let's take you to the mob headquarters. And I'm like, I shouldn't be here. This is against everything I believe in. And you're like, well, let's see what the digs look like before we, you know, say no. We get there. It looks like a little house from the road. I'm like, oh, I thought it'd be bigger. We go in. There's an elevator in the closet. We go down. It's a huge mansion.
Oh my God.
But it's an underground mansion. And we're both like, what in the world? There's just a ton of elaborate mob pictures all the way up to my father. And then I'm on the wall too. Everyone knew but me. Okay?
And I say, where's my picture?
And there's like one mobster guard that's like, kind of like, he laughs at everything you say. And I'm like, oh my God, what? But I'm trying to just like get my bearing. They're like, okay, lady, you need to meet with the head of the mob, your mob enforcement task force, okay? And wow. I'm like, okay, sure. I need to tell this guy I'm not interested. I'm a lawyer, and this is not what I'm going to do. So I go in. I'm like, this guy better get ready to get his ass handed to him. But this really hot guy comes in with like a really full beard, and he looks really cute, okay? He looks tough as nails, and he's like, are you Denise? And I'm like,
And I say, you better believe she's Denise.
And I'm like, Quincy, yes, I'm Denise. And he's like, okay, we need to decide which of these two bake shops we're going to be selling Coke out of. And I'm like, no, 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 no. We're not doing drugs. There's a new branding deal coming from the mob, and we're not doing drugs anymore. And he's like, okay, but we are doing drugs. That's how we pay for like this mansion and all of your security. And I go, security? He's like, yeah, I'm your security. So in order for me to get a paycheck, you just need to pick which cupcake shop we're going to put Coke in. I'm like, okay, I can't do this. And then Quincy's like, go with the ladder, okay? And I'm like, all right, I guess Delilah's Cupcakes is now gonna have Coke in it.
I'm like, I already spent the money. We need to do this.
Yeah. I'm like having a panic attack in my room because I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna go to prison. I can't believe this is happening. And then my security guard, Juan, okay? Juan is like, you're gonna be fine. I'm gonna protect you. The way I protected your father. The only reason he even got to court is because he really wanted to see you. Okay, we would have never let that happen.
Wow.
And I say, okay, I guess I do sort of trust you. And he goes, great. Tomorrow we're going to bring in this guy, Edward, who's the head of the Russian mob. And you need to scare the shit out of him because he thinks that he's going to be in charge and we need you to scare him. And I go, me? Little old me? And he goes, yeah, the head prosecutor, put that hat on. And when he comes in here, you need to scare the shit out of him. And I'm like, okay, I go to my bedroom and I go to bed. I wake up. I go to your room. I'm like, Quincy, I knock on your door. One of the security guards, I thought you were cute in there. I'm like, Quincy, what? You're like, what? It just happened. And then your security guard lover leaves. And I'm like, Quincy, I need to talk to you. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm afraid of this mob person. Okay. And you're like, you need to pretend it's your dad. You need to tell him all the things that you would have told him if you had known that it was your dad in the courtroom. And I say, oh, you just unleashed hell. So then this mobster comes in and I'm like, what the actual fuck? You're going to come into my home and pretend like you know what's up, what's down? Because you're Russian? Don't cachet this. And I grab him by the collar.
Danke schön is German. But...
Okay, great. I don't know Russian. And I grab... Privyets. What is it?
Privyets.
Oh.
You would say privyets, minyazahut, Denise.
Wow.
And that means hello, I'm Denise.
Okay, you'll be my translator. I'll be like, Quincy, you translate.
And I'll say, Privyets, Minyazahut, Denise, Ya Oshensi by Tishnaya. And that means, hi, I'm Denise, and I'm very cute. It's also the only thing I know how to say in Russian.
Great. So I grab him by the collar and I'm like, listen to me. I'm in charge here. And if you have a problem with that, we're going to have a big old issue. And then you translate again that I look cute. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, so we understand.
The ocean sea by Tishnaya.
Yes. And then I'm like, get him out of here. And everyone's like, wow, you are the toughest. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I always had the mobster in my blood. They're like, ha 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 ha. So then I'm like, all right, I'm going to go out and grab a cupcake from from that bakery just to say hi, what's up? And they're like, all right, let's have you go with security. And I'm like, what is this, my life now? I have to travel with a mob? Can't it just be me? Okay. So I'm driving out. I'm with my security guard. He and I are having a lot of fun together. We're sort of like flirty and stuff. But then I see my old lawyer confidant friend who's like kind of jerky, always liked me, but like a loser. Okay. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Mark. I got to say hi. And he's like, okay, but don't say anything. Be careful. And I'm like, okay, God, relax. Hi, Mark. How are you? He's like, good, good. Haven't seen you in a while. I'm like, yeah, I got a little busy with some family stuff. What's up? How are you? He's like, yeah, I guess there's been like a big breach in the mob. Did you hear? And I say, no. What do you mean? He said, that's weird. They didn't tell you since you're the one that put the head mobster in jail. I guess there's a new leader in the mob.
A new mob boss.
And I say, oh, I hadn't heard that. That's so interesting. Are you on that case or something? And he's like, yeah, I am. I think I'm closing in. And I go, oh, that's great. Well,
and I'm shaking. I'm just shaking.
We're all shaking. We're all like, oh.
Both from the cocaine cupcake and the news.
Exactly. And I'm like, okay. Well, let me know if you get any more information. And he's like, I will. I'm sure I'll be telling you about it real soon. And I'm like, oh, my God.
And I'm ready to kill him.
You're ready to kill him. I'm like, Quincy, hold it in. So you and I walk back to the car and we're like, okay, what are we going to do? He knows. He definitely knows. Should I tell my head security? Like, what do I do? And you're like, no, you can't. You have to play it cool, or you got to figure out how to talk to Mark. Okay. So I'm like, you're right. So we go back to the mob headquarters, and all of a sudden there's a huge raid. We're like in our rooms, huge raid. Everyone's getting taken out. The SWAT team is there.
I'm like, not my caviar.
And then we're both like, we were captors. And then Mark is there and he's like, thanks for the tip. So everyone's like, what? And I'm like, let me explain. And then the head of my security, I forget what I named him, is like,
his name was Juan.
Juan, that's right. Is like, how could you? I guess your dad was wrong. And I'm like, okay, wait a sec. And everyone's like, yeah. You ruined it. And so when they're leaving, they take my picture down from the wall of fame.
And I say, take it down.
Yeah, you're like, also, did no one make one of me? I thought we talked about that. So then I go to the courtroom with Mark and I'm like, okay, Mark, I said to give it, first of all, 48 hours. You gave it 24. I was going to try to get things in order. And he's like, the only way I could grant you immunity is if you gave me the information and took everybody else down. And I say, I understand, Mark. I need to have a hearing about it. If all of those people are going to go to prison, I'll be the prosecutor. And he says, that feels like a conflict of interest, but okay. And I say, thank you. So we're in the middle of this courtroom. There's a lot of security. Everyone in the mob looks like they want to murder me. Okay. And Mark is like,
what side am I sitting on? Am I on your side or am I on the mob side? I think I'm on the mob side.
I think you're on the mob side. I think you got very comfortable with the mob. Okay. So everyone's like, grr. You're like, boo. And they're like, Quincy, you really can't do that. Okay. And I'm like, okay, I'd like to discuss all of the issues that happen. I talk about the Coke and the cupcake. I talk about everything. And then I say, but unfortunately, none of those orders were given by anyone other than me. So I say, as much as I want to put all these crooks in jail, the biggest crook here is me, who has immunity. And therefore, nobody on that bench can be a part of
prison.
And they're like, and Mark's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I played you. I played everybody here because I knew how to beat the system, and I knew how to protect my family. And furthermore, my father, who is in prison, shouldn't be in prison because I found out that he didn't do any of the, you know, murders that we thought that that was the Russian mob. So I pin everything on the Russian mob, that guy Edward, whatever. So he goes to prison, which, by the way, is our competitors. My father is released. Juan loves me. He's like, I knew I could trust you. I said, oh, it felt like you didn't when you said that stuff. And we go back to the mansion, and there's a big picture of me and a small one of you next to me.
I feel like mine would probably be medium sized, but regardless.
And they're like, the king is back. He's the head of the mob. And he goes, no, no, we'll let the queen continue ruling. And I go, Dad, I just want to be your daughter. I don't need any other title than that. And honestly, I like being a lawyer, but thank you. And he's like, well, then
and I'll say, I'll take queen.
And then they're like, we'll do it together as a family. So the mob lawyer system becomes this big unit where I keep getting the mob out of any legal issues. And we take over, and you're a huge part of it. And I get married.
Wow. I love it.
Thank you. And it's called Married to the Mob.
I love it. Maybe I think that's a show on VH1, but yeah, I do love it.
It's too. Maybe I'll call it something else. Guilty of Mob. Mob.
Guilty as charged by my by me. Or like it could be like the Mob Queen.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
The Mob Queen. I love that's that. Perfect. Okay, and that's the movie.
Wow, I love that movie.
I honestly really do too, and I think we both would thrive in it.
I want to be in it.
Quincy really suits you.
Thank you so much.
I really mean it.
That's my dream role.
I think you would slay at it.
Wow, I love that. All right, guys, it's time for our final segment.
That's right.
Praise to the praise.
So this one is from Modern Day Therapist.
Love.
We love. It says, these are the two funniest people around. Every time I hear them together, I laugh so hard I cannot breathe. I am so happy they are doing this podcast.
Wow.
And it's from a Modern Day Therapist.
That's from a doctor, a therapist, a doctor of the mind.
Yeah. Who's like, wow. Even I could use a little giggle every now and again, because in a time like this, I believe there are therapy sessions happening left and right.
Amen. You know what? Modern day therapist who will for now be known as Liz. Because you know what? Yeah. I've never met a Liz that I haven't liked.
Ain't it the truth?
Okay.
Yeah.
A Liz is strong. You know, she's a therapist. Okay. This is the type of person that gets paid to listen to problems all day long.
All day.
When they have problems of their own. And then on the way home, they call their friend they know is in need on speaker and says, tell me about your day. Tell me what happened for my whole ride, my whole commute home.
Yeah. And Liz is like, okay. And she's the type of a therapist that was always like, come on in, sit on my couch. But as times have changed, she said, hook up my FaceTime. Hook up my Zoom. Hook up my Skype.
Liz is the type of therapist. She's like, she knows she has one patient who really comes alive when they have one of the candies in her dish in her room, right?
Yes.
And so it's a FaceTime, and they're like, not themselves, and they're like, I'm just, you know, I don't have my Hershey Kiss,
yeah.
So I'm not coming alive. And she says, oh, did you check your mailbox? And they go out in their mailbox, and there's a bag of Hershey Kisses that she had sent because she knew.
And she sent
And she said, no, don't eat them all today.
And the girl's like, fat chance. I'm definitely going to eat them all. And Liz is like, okay, we'll talk about that next session. No big deal. NBD.
Exactly. You don't have to live up to anybody but yourself, Liz says.
That's right. And, you know, she's a modern day therapist, and she really says, what is not healing if not talking and hearing and listening and letting go? And she says, this is a podcast that takes our childhood, which we're all traumatized from, and really puts it in perspective. And that, my friends, is how we heal.
Oh, I mean, this is the type of therapist that says, sorry, I'm running late. She's a minute late. Yeah. And she comes back and she's like, I was so hungry. I stopped at Chipotle. Here's a burrito for you also.
No.
Yes.
Can you imagine the type of comfort you'd have to both to eat a burrito in front of your therapist?
And she says, here's the extra napkins for those tears.
Oh, my God. To have hot sauce coming out of your nose and tears coming out of your eyes. That's a therapist.
Oh, that is a beautiful therapy session.
That's
okay?
Exactly.
Insurance.
Better cover
I
it.
I mean, and Liz says, you know, we're friends.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't care if you can pay or if you can't.
Wow.
And you say, Liz, that's crazy. You need to make a living.
Of course.
And she says, my living is helping people.
Oh, my God. And you go, well, guess what? You saved a life. So consider yourself an angel.
That is modern day therapist.
And we okay? love you.
We live for you. We adore you.
Yes.
And as always, we live for all of you.
We okay? really
You're
do.
You're all goddamn stars. You're icons. You are the type of people that we would only wish to be around.
Oh, my God. It's so true. You're getting us through this quarantine, okay? Please know that.
And the reviews are coming in, and they're amazing, and we live for them.
They're fire.
And the Patreon, you all are doing so much amazing. Like, signing up, we're living for it.
We're
truly
for it.
So grateful. So if you have yet to, please rate, review, and subscribe. If you want more, please go to patreon.com/middlechildren where we have more for you. And we just live for you all so much.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
The Middle Children.
Middle Children is produced by Cameron Rood.
Our theme song is written and performed by Hannah Solo and Alex Mitchell.
With photography by Sarah Nathan.
And artwork by Abby Lloyd.